Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Blessing of Life Church upon our family and allowing us to be missionaries to Tanzania. Being disciples who make disciples of every tribe, language, people, and nation is what Life Church Birmingham is all about. Jesus said in John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so also am I sending you. Jesus was sent from the highest of heights to the deepest depths to save to the uttermost, to save all peoples everywhere. And he did so by making disciples. He makes disciples who will worship him anywhere. That's you, Life Church. He makes disciples who will follow him everywhere. That's you, Life Church Birmingham. He makes disciples who in turn will make disciples of all peoples everywhere. That is who you are, Life Church. This is why you are so missions-minded, reaching both your neighbors and the nations with the gospel, as you partner with churches around the world, as you partner with so many missionaries like my family and me. My family and I work in close partnership with the Tanzania Assemblies of God, we say for short, the TAG. And Dr. Barnabas Mtokombali is one of the main leaders that we work with in Tanzania. He was earlier this year elected to be the president of the CPCT, the Council of Pentecostal Churches of Tanzania. He provides leadership for all 128 Pentecostal denominations in Tanzania, representing them to the president and government of the country. He also serves as the general superintendent or the top leader of the TAG. And he says that the key to bringing in and conserving the harvest in Tanzania and around the world is nurturing the call of God upon the lives of our pastors and upon the lives of our church members. When Dr. Mtokombali was just 19 years old, studying in school, a man walked up to him and said, "You know, you will read that science book and you will finish it. But I have a book that you will never finish, and it will change your life for eternity." So he started reading the Bible. He gave his life to the Lord, was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He began sharing the gospel everywhere he went and enrolled in Bible college. In 1986, he planted his first church in Morogoro, Tanzania, which he continues to pastor even today as the top leader of the TAG. From that one church, he and his congregation have now planted more than 400 daughter churches and have raised up 85% of the pastors for those churches from within that church, his church there in Morogoro. What he has done at a local level, he is now doing at a national level as he leads the TAG by example. As he leads and pastors other Tanzanians to Christ, his strategic plan mandates that each TAG member reach and disciple at least two Tanzanians every year. As Dr. Mtokombali raises up and mentors 15 to 20 pastors every year, he expects each TAG pastor to raise up and mentor at least one other pastor every 3 years. And as his church in Morogoro plants 20 to 30 churches on a yearly basis, the TAG strategic plan requires every church to plant at least one daughter church every 3 years. Under his leadership, together with your Life Church partnership, the TAG has grown from a half a million to now more than 5 million members, including children and youth, in a country of 61 million people. And from 2,600 pastors and churches in 2009 to almost 16,000 pastors and churches today. Look at the screen there. When we were here in November of 2020, they were at 10,000 pastors and churches. Today, go back to that screen. Today, they are at, Dr. Mtokombali called me the week before last, and he said that the stats were all in. They are now at 15,906 churches. To God be the glory. As we say in Swahili, Bwana Yesu asifiwe. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. And the TAG is on target to grow to 25 million members, 40,000 churches, 45,000 pastors, and 200 TAG missionaries by 2033. We thank God for what he has done, but the task remains unfinished. There's still the one lost sheep. There's still the one lost coin. There are the lost sons and daughters to be found. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What the TAG is doing is envisioning Tanzania for Jesus. They are making disciples of the nations, of the 155 tribes of Tanzania. They are living and dreaming God's dream, as seen in Habakkuk 2:14 and Isaiah 11:9, of the earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the basis of their vision. It fuels their passion and guides their strategic planning in reaching Tanzania and beyond for Jesus. They love Jesus and they long for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done on earth in Tanzania as it is in heaven. The TAG, they are playing the music Jesus composed. They are dancing the dance Christ gave them, and they are singing the new song that he put in their hearts. What they are doing is following Jesus. They are going where Jesus is sending them. They are preaching the gospel, and Tanzania is being saved. Tanzania kwa Yesu, Tanzania for Jesus. This morning, all across this congregation, Christ is calling out with the same call that came to Isaiah. Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit calling out. Who will play the music that we composed? Who will dance the dance that we choreographed? Who will sing the new song that we put words to? Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? May we allow the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. May we be obedient to that call that he's placing upon our lives. It's about capturing Christ's vision and mission, or better yet, being captured by his vision and mission. It's about being sent. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, who is the light of the world, also calls us the light of the world? Why is that? It's because Jesus is the head of the church, and we, the church, are his body. If the head is light, then the body must also be light, for in Christ there is no darkness. And Jesus, the light of the world, who was sent by the Father into the darkness of this world, now likewise sends us as the light of the world into that very same darkness. And we go boldly, because the one who has called us to go has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. He's also the same one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, the Father sent the Son, and the Son sent the Holy Spirit, empowering us to be God's missional people, that is, to be his sent people. Christ was sent into the darkness, into our darkness, to call us out of that darkness into his marvelous light, only to send us back into the darkness, not to sin as we once did, but to be the light of the world, preaching the gospel and making disciples who follow Christ with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Being sent is all about worshiping Jesus where he is not worshiped, so that those who are not worshiping him might join in with us worshiping Christ. And we do this together with the Lord until all peoples everywhere have been reached with the gospel, with the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Psalm 108 verse 13 says that together with the Lord, we will do great things. Pamoja na Bwana tutatenda makuu. That we includes you here at Life Church, who are partnered with church planting movements around the world through AGWM missionaries like me and my family. It is through our partnership in Tanzania, together with the Lord, that water wells are being drilled, churches are being planted, Bible colleges are being expanded with new classrooms, with much-needed dormitories, with newly renovated and enlarged libraries, with medical and maternity clinics for both student pastors and surrounding villagers, with chapels that function as campus churches to the surrounding villagers and as venues for TAG conferences. Also, new seminary buildings have been constructed. New seminaries like ACTS, A-C-T-S, Africa's Continental Theological Seminary, which is located on the campus of Central Bible College in Dodoma and is home to the TAG's master's and doctoral programs. And so much more is being accomplished, including the development of the TAG 71 church planting schools, which Pastor Tim was talking about earlier, as well as seven Bible college campuses, which are all strategically positioned across Tanzania. Since 2010, these church planting schools have graduated 14,000 newly called pastors, men and women, young and old, who at graduation are commissioned and sent out to plant their first church within the next 12 months. Once their church is established, they can then attend one of the TAG's seven Bible colleges, which further equips them to make disciples who in turn make disciples, to raise up pastors who in turn raise up other pastors, to plant churches that plant other churches. And these church planting schools and Bible colleges prepare and send them out for a lifetime of ministry, as shown in this ordination service. This is more than 600 TAG pastors being ordained, being commissioned and sent out for greater fruitfulness to reach Tanzania and beyond with our glorious gospel of our marvelous Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the TAG's goal between now and 2033 is to raise up and equip and send out 30,000 more TAG pastors. You see, we are helping the TAG build something more than just a church building for a pastor and his or her congregation. Through your partnership, we are helping the TAG build a Pentecostal church planting machine that will equip thousands of pastors who will plant thousands of churches as they make millions of disciples for Christ. Hallelujah. While all 71 church planting schools are up and running, 36 only have the classroom building finished, with two classrooms and several faculty offices sandwiched in between the two classrooms. It is here where faculty not only teach and students study, but both faculty and students also use these very same classrooms and offices for worshiping, for preaching, for sleeping, cooking, and eating. In addition to the classroom building, there are also four steel superstructures already in place on each of these 36 church planting school campuses. There's one for the cafeteria, which also functions as the school chapel and as a TAG church for the surrounding local villagers. There's another one for the men's dormitory, and a third one for the women's dormitory, and then there's the fourth one for the professors and their families. Once finished, these church planting schools can accommodate up to 100 students for 4 to 5 months, during which time they take 14 Bible college courses with a razor-sharp focus on church planting. And we can completely finish out these four church planting school buildings for $100,000. This is what you're helping us with, Life Church, with your giving, your commitment to send $10,000 towards helping us with one of these church planting schools. The church planting school that you're going to be helping us with is in the village of Kiteto. In fact, Kiteto is an entire district of the Tanzania Assemblies of God. They're mainly Maasai people there. And they have the four buildings that are there that need to be completed. $100,000 for four buildings. That's $25,000 for each building. Or if we think about 100 students being enrolled there, that's $1,000 per student pastor. For the TAG to raise up 30,000 more pastors between now and 2033, each of the 71 church planting schools will need to graduate and commission at least 400 more church planters. And that comes out to $250 per student pastor. Some of our church planting schools are in need of water wells. That's why we have the bottles out there. We're hoping to raise the funds by April for the water well that's needed there in Kiteto, the church planting school that you're helping us with. And these church planting schools need these water wells that will provide not only the faculty and student pastors with good, clean water, but also the nearby villagers with safe, pure water that families can use for cooking, for cleaning, for washing, bathing, building, and farming. They will no longer have to walk 3 to 5 kilometers one way every other day in order to get water from open, hand-dug, dirty, disease-infested water wells. For $25,000, we can provide these schools with water wells that open the door for these TAG Church Planting School campus churches to share the gospel with all who come day after day to fetch water. Your partnership with us and with missionaries around the world is empowering churches such as the TAG to raise up and send out thousands of pastors like our dear friend, Pastor Katema. Pastor Katema, he left his work as a gemstone miner searching for Tanzanite diamonds and gold. He left that work in order to plant churches in the Islamic region of Kondoa, which Tanzanians refer to as the Little Sudan of Tanzania. If we were to take all of the Muslims who live on the African continent, south of the equator and outside the borders of Tanzania, they would not equal the number of Muslims who live in Tanzania. And Kondoa is a region of Tanzania with one of the highest concentrations of Muslims. Pastor Katema, he would walk 4 days and 3 nights one way to reach the villagers of this region. Since the late 90s, he has planted 12 churches in the Little Sudan of Tanzania. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Praise the Lord. He has planted these churches facing fierce opposition from Islamic leaders and attacks from wild animals. In the Muslim village of Chandama, 3 lions surrounded him as he slept under a tree in the wilderness. The villagers, they refused to allow him to sleep in Chandama because they knew that he wanted to plant a TAG church among them. These very same lions, they attacked the villagers of Chandama, killing a small child. The village leaders, they feared that the evil spirits were punishing them for their mistreatment of this good man, Pastor Katema. They believed that the evil spirits had attacked him, killed him, and now were bringing... They believed that the lions had attacked and killed Pastor Katema, and now the evil spirits were bringing judgment upon them for allowing this good man to perish. So they went out looking for him, actually looking for his remains. And they started calling out his name, "Katema, Katema, are you there?" thinking that the lions may have killed him as well. To their amazement, Katema came walking up out of the wilderness alive and totally unharmed. They told him what had happened in the night, and they asked him if he had seen the lions. He told them that he had not seen them, but that he remembered some dogs surrounding him in the night and sniffing him as he lay there on the ground. But because he was so tired, he simply curled himself up on the ground there in the darkness under the tree, pulled the covers over his head, and continued to sleep. When they went to where he had slept, they found not dog but lion paw prints all around where he had slept. God had miraculously spared his life. It's a Daniel in the lion's den. It's a modern Daniel in the lion's den story. Hallelujah. A modern day Daniel in the lion's den story. That is what our God does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for Daniel, he did for Katema. And what he did for Katema, he will do for us today. He's the one who moves the mountains that others say are immovable. He's the one who breaks the chains that others says are unbreakable. He's the Almighty God. And he is here among us to have his way in our lives. The Muslim leaders of Chandama, they were so awestruck by what had happened that they gave Katema a plot for a TAG church, and they even gave him a place to live in the village of Chandama. Today we have a vibrant TAG church making disciples in the Muslim village of Chandama. Chandama for Jesus. Chandama kwa Yesu, as we say in Swahili. This is the power of the gospel. It's the power of the cross. Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It does not contain the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. This good news, it supersedes, surpasses, and subverts that of CNN, MSNBC, Facebook, Twitter, Google, Amazon, Fox News, and Newsmax. Is the only good news that defeats the powers of evil, sin, and death and resurrects the dead. There's no news broadcast out there that can do that except the good news that is broadcast from the very throne of God. And that good news, the gospel, the word has become flesh, dwelling among us. And he is here in our midst by the power of his Holy Spirit, whom he sent, has sent to us. You see, this good news, it brings to nothing the religions, idols, and false gods of the nations. It forgives and sets the sinner free. You may be here this morning, and the darkness that's in your life is tormenting and terrorizing you. Christ has come as the victorious one, the light of the world, to drive that darkness out from your life. He is the hope of the nations, and he is the hope of our hearts. He's what your heart, your soul is longing for. And you may be watching online, and you're there in your home, in your living room, in your bedroom, at your kitchen table, and you are bound up inside. Christ has come to set you free. He loves you. He loves you with a love that took him to the cross. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And for that reason, for us who name the name of Christ, we can't keep this good news to ourselves. We can't keep it bottled up. You see, when we take 30 seconds at the gas station to share with the person on the other side of the pump that Jesus is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of Lords, that he is the Creator and Savior of the world, that he took upon himself the judgment and punishment for our sins so that we can be forgiven, set free, and totally changed and filled with the goodness of God, that 30 seconds will change their lives, transform their lives for all eternity. It is the power of God unto salvation. So instead of complaining as we wait in the long lines at Walmart and at Dollar General, we can share the gospel with those standing in front and behind us of how Christ has saved us and of how he desires to save them as well. 2 Corinthians 2:15 through 16 bears out that our witness is never in vain, that he will use our proclamation of the gospel as a witness against those who reject it and as the very means of bringing salvation to those who receive him. Our lives are the stench of death to those who reject Christ, and it's the very fragrance of life to those who receive him. As the Father sent the Son, so also Jesus is sending us to share his good news. Last year, Dr. Mtokambali shared with me that during the TAG 71 District Council conferences held across Tanzania this past February, he shared that TAG pastors like Pastor Katamba, all of whom are graduates from our church planning schools and Bible colleges, he shared that they shook for hours under the power of the Holy Spirit and left those meetings with renewed evangelistic fervor, renewed evangelistic passion for the harvest, committing themselves to plant at least 6,800 new TAG churches by the end of 2025. And what's amazing is that's keeping us on target to reach to that goal of 40,000 churches by 2033. It is mission possible because of your prayers and your partnership. He went on to say that he has never seen the Lord move among the TAG as the Lord is moving now, and that he can officially say with confidence that the TAG is experiencing an unprecedented Bible-based, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled revival. To God be the glory. You see, this gospel of the kingdom is going out, and it is bearing fruit among all peoples everywhere. And it is unstoppable. Acts 28 verse 30 says that while in Rome, Paul boldly preached the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. No one can stop the church. No one can stop the body of the resurrected Christ from sharing this glorious good news of the kingdom. For if they wound us, Jesus will heal us. If they kill us, he will raise us from the dead. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We are sent to make disciples. We are sent by the one who has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. We are sent by Jesus who will never leave us nor forsake us. So what do we have to fear? Christ is with us. Like Paul in Rome, our good friend Pastor Ndowell is today preaching the good news in the Muslim county of Kwam Toro with no one stopping him. But reaching to that point came at a great price. A price that has resulted in 12 TAG churches being planted in this most difficult Islamic region, which is also known as the Little Sudan of Tanzania, because Kwam Toro is in the bigger region of Kondoa, where Pastor Katema is as well. And the price that he and his family paid were a price that he and his wife were willing to pay. Pastor Ndowell shared with me that the Muslim villagers and government leaders did all that they could do to stop his church planting efforts by violently attacking him, beating his wife, and even threatening his children. As Pastor Ndowell and his church members gathered for a Sunday evening leadership seminar, they were totally unaware that the Muslim villagers had sabotaged it by removing the cross bracing from the tabernacle church structure, which is basically like a large pavilion without walls. While he taught, a strong gust of wind slammed the church structure to the ground. Members of the congregation were knocked down, but were able to escape with only minor injuries. When they realized that Pastor Ndowell was missing, they went back inside the wreckage to find him somehow, some way pinned between the steel column and steel truss of that church. As the weight of the roof lay across his chest, crushing his body, he could not expand his lungs in order to get air. For more than 20 minutes, he was not able to breathe. His wife, together with the congregation, they frantically worked to free him from that contraption. By the time they pulled him from the wreckage, Pastor Ndowell was lifeless, without a pulse. They did what they could to revive him, but he had indeed passed away. A couple of elders in the church were sent to find the village chairman and the chief of police in order to officially pronounce Ndowell dead. It was a tragic and desperate situation. You could just imagine what the situation was like with Pastor Ndowell's wife and children there. The shock, the horror, the despair, as they, together with the church members, gathered around Ndowell's lifeless corpse, crying out to the Lord for help in the midst of their desperation. And I want you to know that in the midst of their desperation, the Lord, he did hear their cries for help. Pastor Ndowell's wife shared with us that while they were crying out to the Lord, they watched as the very breath of life was breathed back into Ndowell's lifeless corpse. The Lord raised Pastor Ndowell back to life again. Christ is the resurrection and the life, and we are his resurrection people. Hallelujah. With his body broken and bleeding, they traveled for more than 6 hours through the African bush, arriving in the nearest town after midnight, where the Muslim doctor determined that he had life-threatening internal bleeding and several broken ribs. And he also shared that he needed to be transferred to Dar es Salaam or to Nairobi, Kenya, in order to save his life. The church, however, continued to pray for him as Assemblies of God leadership worked to get him to Dar es Salaam. When this same doctor returned hours later expecting Pastor Ndowell to be dead, he was shocked and amazed to find him alive with absolutely no internal bleeding. There were signs that he had been bleeding, but the bleeding had miraculously stopped. After a month of being hospitalized, as he healed from the deep gashes on his back and across his chest, and as he healed from the broken ribs, we, together with the Assemblies of God leadership, used our Alabama Speed the Light Land Cruiser to transport him back to his home and to his church there in Kwam Toro. When we arrived to his home, the village chairman and the chief police were there with his wife. She had been beaten by a local Muslim villager in the wee hours of that same morning while it was still dark. There was such a tangible presence of fear that you could cut it with a knife. I'd never felt fear like that as I felt that day. It was now obvious to everyone that Pastor Dowell and his wife would not be able to remain in Kwam Toro. For Pastor Dowell had been taken up for dead. His wife, now beaten within an inch of her life, next on the list to be threatened and attacked with their children. That next week, in the midst of their preparation to leave Kwam Toro, as they prayed, the Lord spoke to Pastor Dowell's heart. He spoke to his heart in a very powerful way, confirming that he had indeed sent and called them to reach Kwam Toro for Jesus. Pastor Dowell shared with his wife that if they were going to die anywhere, they were going to die in the very center of God's will, and that the will of God for their lives was to preach the good news of Jesus Christ throughout all of Kwam Toro, to disciple Kwam Toro to love Jesus. It's one thing to know that you are called to go. It's another thing to know that you are called to stay. Pastor Dowell understood that being sent encompasses going as well as staying. We came alongside Pastor Dowell, and we helped him rebuild his church, complete with a church parsonage attached for his family. We helped him drill a water well, providing fresh, clean water to all peoples everywhere in Kwam Toro. And now, the Muslim government leaders, on behalf of the villagers of Kwam Toro, have not only expressed their gratitude to Pastor Dowell and his church for providing such good, clean water, something that they as government leaders and as Muslim leaders could not even do for their own people, but they have told Pastor Dowell that he can preach the gospel to all peoples everywhere in Kwam Toro, even in the restaurants and the stores, and no one will oppose him. No one will stop him. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. That is the God whom we serve. Hallelujah. This is his creation, and we are his new creation, going out, preaching that he makes, that he comes and makes all things new. The old is gone, the new has come. Today, Pastor Dowell is Kwam Toro's pastor. As a graduate of the TAG Central Bible College, he has now planted 11 daughter churches from this one church and was recently elected to be the district superintendent, the top leader of this district, the North Dodoma district of the TAG. And he was one of the many pastors who shook under the power of God during the 71 district council conferences held last year in February. And he is right now evangelizing and making disciples with greater vision and passion like never before. Because Christ, who has all power and authority in heaven and in Kwam Toro, has sent him. And we read in Colossians 1:6, this same good news that came to Pastor Dowell, transforming his life, is now going out all over Kwam Toro, bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Pastor Dowell represents the kind of pastor with whom we are partnering through the continued faith promise, missions, and prayer support of congregations like you, Life Church. And such partnership is making an eternal difference. You see, revival, as we sang about earlier, revival is all about being disciples who make disciples who in turn make disciples. That's what the TAG is doing in Tanzania, across the African continent, and around the world. And making disciples is what you, Life Church, are doing. Discipleship is the very heart of God. Discipleship is in your DNA as disciples of Jesus, as Life Church Faith Promise Mission supporters. You are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among the nations. That's who you are. And making disciples is from everywhere to everywhere. The gospel is going out from Tanzania to the world and from Birmingham to the world because of your praying. Because of your giving, and because of your going. Some of you may still be wondering, does our faith promise missions giving really matter? Let's imagine, if you will, dining at our favorite restaurant with four seats at the table. At one seat, you have a 19-year-old Tanzanian by the name of Barnabas Mtukubali, who has just received the Lord, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and has accepted the call of God upon his life to preach the gospel and to plant churches. He doesn't know it, but one day he will lead one of the greatest church planting movements of the 21st century, and millions upon millions will come to place their faith and trust in Christ. In another seat is a gemstone miner by the name of Lazarus Katema. He makes less than $5 per month, and he's hoping to strike it rich for his wife and their seven children. He doesn't know it, but the Lord is about to turn his attention from mining for precious gemstones to risking his life to reach the precious Muslim villagers living in the little Sudan of Tanzania. At the third seat is a TAG Central Bible College graduate by the name of Pastor Charles, or as we say in Swahili, Charles Ndawol. He has no idea of the suffering that awaits him and his family in the place to which Christ is calling them to plant a church. All that he knows is that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has called him to love and pastor the people of Kwam Toro, no matter the cost. And then there's the fourth chair. As we know, someone has to pay the bill for this marvelous meal. And that's the seat in which you and I, as Life Church Missions partners, have the privilege of sitting. Pastor Ndawol, sitting next to us on our left, is so excited about having graduated from CBC and moving his family to Kwam Toro, where the Lord is sending him to plant his first church. We look across the table and we see Katema. We see his selfless sacrifice as he gives up his dreams, his ambitions, in order to embrace Christ's vision and mission. And then there's Barnabas Mtukubali sitting next to us on our right. And he can't stop pouring out his heart with his eyes wide and full of faith and vision, declaring Tanzania for Jesus. The beauty of this moment is that you and I together have the privilege of raising our hand and saying to the Lord, I'll take the bill. I'll get the bill. This is an Isaiah 6 moment where the Lord is calling out, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? Who will take the bill? Who will pay the price? Who will allow themselves to be spent so that others might be sent? That's the significance and beauty of your Life Church Faith Promise Missions Giving. I want you to take that Faith Promise card that you were given today. And I want you to raise it up here this morning. I want you to raise it up to the Lord as a sign saying, Lord, I'll take the bill. I'll pay the price. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm willing to be spent in order that others might be sent. If you don't have a card, you can just raise your hand. The Lord sees what he's doing in your heart. He's placing a number in your heart. He's already been dealing with your heart from last night and from the week before concerning what you're to do. And he's wanting to solidify that commitment here this morning. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians 8 through 9 provides a biblical basis for our Life Church Faith Promise Missions Giving. Paul encourages the Corinthians, and he is encouraging us here this morning to give in proportion to what we have, not according to what we don't have. It's to be a gift, giving willingly. Paul says a farmer who plants few seeds gets a small crop, but he who plants generously will get a generous crop. Paul says that we're to decide in our hearts how much to give. And we're not to give reluctantly or in response to pressure, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Who will take the bill? The Lord is asking. Thank God for what the Lord did in 2023. Thank God for what he's done. But the task remains unfinished. That's why half of this booklet talks about what happened in 2023, and the other half talks about what we're going to do in 2024. We want to reach the nation's life, church, with this glorious good news of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, we can't do it without you. We've got to do it together. Pomojana buona tuta tenda maku. Together with the Lord, we will do great things. Psalm 108, verse 13 says, for he will trample down our enemy. The enemy of our souls, the enemy whom the Lord has defeated in our lives, needs to be defeated in the lives of peoples around the world. And you and I have the privilege and the honor to do so. What a glorious opportunity. And we do so out of a heart of generosity. You see, Paul tells the Corinthians that the Macedonians, who are very poor, that they first gave themselves to the Lord. And because of that, the Lord filled them with such abundant generosity that he gave them more than what they needed. And they took that extra and gave it so that the poor Jews in Jerusalem might be cared for and reached. The Lord has blessed us abundantly. The Lord wants us to give out of that abundance that he has given to us. And you know, Paul says of the Macedonians, he's telling this story to the Corinthians. He said, the amazing thing is that they gave more than what I even dreamed that they would give. That is the power of Christ's generosity in our lives. May the Lord use us this morning. May we listen to his voice and respond in obedience. In Tanzania, whenever an offering is received, and Pastor Tim and I were talking about it, that they are not afraid to receive 3 and 4 and even 5 offerings in one service. Everybody, and I'm telling you, most people make less than $5 a month in Tanzania. Everybody give something in the offering. You know how we know? Because they don't pass the offering bucket. And they don't give online. They don't even have Wi-Fi out there. Barely have 3G out there. They will put the offering buckets at the front. And then the music will start up. And the pastor and the staff will come, every one of them, drop their offering into the bucket. And then row by row, the Tanzanians, they get up and they dance all the way to the front, every one of them, and they drop it there in the offering bucket. And you don't want to be the only one sitting there, right? But these people who represent the 24th poorest country in the world, they get up and they dance with a big smile on their face, and they come up. And they're not faking it. They're actually putting their offering in, using the right hand, putting the offering into the bucket. And they do so because they love the Lord. He has set them free. He has made of them a new creation. And they simply want to give back to the Lord what he has given to them. They acknowledge, Lord, it's all yours. My life is yours. Everything that I have is yours. And so what I give this morning, I give acknowledging you as my Lord and Savior, as my creator, as my source. You provide everything that I need. This morning, let's take the faith promise card. Let's not let anyone be left behind in the pew. Let's every one of us make the commitment according to what we have, according to what the Lord is speaking to our hearts, and let's make a commitment to the Lord for 2024, saying, Lord, I want to be partnered together with you in reaching the nations and our neighbors with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for what you're doing afar, but thank God for what you're doing near here in the Birmingham area. Pastor Tim shared with me about all the children that are around here. We've got a world to reach, and we've got to do it together. If you will, take this card in your hand. There's a pen in front of you, in the chair right there in front of you. You can take that pen, and you can begin to fill this out. Nobody's going to call you up. Nobody's going to say, hey, you haven't given this month. That's not the way this works. This is a faith promise where you're trusting the Lord to make a way for you to give this on a weekly or a monthly basis. As we fill this out this morning, let's just listen to the Lord's voice. Let's take a moment once again. I know this past week you've been listening to the Lord. Since last night at the missions banquet, you've been listening to the Lord. Let's take one more moment as we fill these out to listen to what the Lord is saying to our hearts. Lord, you're speaking to every boy and girl, to every teenager, to every young adult, to every man and woman, every grandmother, grandfather, every mom and dad. You're speaking to our hearts concerning what you would have us to do as Life Church Faith Promise missions partners. God, thank you. You are the God who has ears to hear. And you're the God who has a mouth, who speaks to his people. You have given us ears to hear. May we let them hear this morning. And may we allow our hearts to respond in obedience to what you're speaking to our hearts. God, lead us this morning. Lead us, oh Lord, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Our ushers are going to come and we're going to receive this offering differently than we typically do. I've asked them to come and be prepared to minister to you and receive two things. 100% of what we give. I say we because I'm part of the church. I'm the pastor, but I'm part of the church. 100% of what we give this morning goes to missions. 100%. We've made a step of faith, not because the church has tons of cash sitting around, because we want to take a step of faith and as a body, stretch ourselves. So whatever you give today, whatever you give, unless it's marked specifically otherwise, goes right into missions. 100% of all the offerings received goes right into missions, according to how we laid it out in this book. In addition to that, you've been challenged by our missionary speaker to consider a faith promise. This is saying, if God allows it to come to me, I'll allow it to go through me. You can't give what you don't have. If God allows it to come to me, I'll allow it to go through me. I encourage you to take a step of faith. It's a weekly or a monthly commitment that you make between you and the Lord. No one's going to come to your house and ask you to pay up or anything like that. I'll probably send you a letter in the mail to encourage you and thank you. And then it's between you and the Lord. And then you can mark it each week or each month. Missions, right? Or deeper campaign. It's available on our online giving as well. And we'll send it to the mission field. Today, we're holding the rope of those that are descending down into the mine shafts to rescue the fallen, to rescue the broken. Every once in a while, we'll hear a story about someone that gets trapped in a mine or a hole somewhere, right? Sending missionaries is like the person at the top of that mine shaft holding the repelling line so that a rescuer can go down and rescue those stuck in the bottom. As a matter of fact, we've created some bands available out front. We just have a handful that we made, some prototypes, to remind us that we're holding the line. We're holding the line so people like Jeff and Wendy and their family can go to areas that we can't go, go to unreached people groups. We're holding the line so people like Cody Griggs could go to Belize and start churches and plant churches. We're holding the line so people like David Krant can rescue little girls and young women from human sex slavery and redeem them and give them education and housing and snatch them free from that. We're holding the line so others can go. As a pastor, I'm asking you to pray and ask what the Lord would have you to do. There's tithe envelopes in the seat back in front of you for you to give. Many of you give online, electronically. If it comes in like it normally does, we're sending it to missions. Amen? Gentlemen, if you'll come forward. Today we want to receive your connection cards as well as your faith promise cards. You can take these and kind of make your... old school perforated line by folding it, and then if you want to lick it, you can. This is a commitment between you and the Lord. You'll keep the short end as a reminder. What I do is I put it as a Bible marker. I put it in my desk as a reminder. And there's been times I made a commitment. I don't have, but only what you do have. If God allows it to come to me, I'll allow it to go through me. That's all we're saying. It's between you and the Lord. And take this and fill it out, and there's a place to sign it. We want to have, your information because we just want to track it. Then we'll move out with confidence in supporting our missionaries. I want to point one thing out in the book. You don't have to turn there. You can read it later. You'll see of all the missionaries, there's one that says undesignated. It says unassigned. So we took a step of faith and we said, you know what? If God allows us as a church to pick up a new missionary on the way, we want to be ready in advance. So you may be the one that helps us to add that missionary to broaden our influence. I'm going to pray over the offering. I know Pastor Jeff's already prayed. I'm going to pray over the offering and ask God to bless it and multiply it. You know, we took some loaves and fishes, a little boy's lunch, and fed thousands. What we release from our hands into God's hand, he multiplies it. It's a biblical principle, and it works. Every time. I'm telling you, it works every time. It works every time. Where can you build an entire ministry training facility with dorms and chapel and cafeteria for $100,000? Where you can't even build a garage hardly for $100,000 over here. This is good seed to sow into. Every bit of the offering that comes in today will go to missions, and then this will help us to mark out. Father, we pray that today, that you would accomplish your purposes and plans in us. What you're doing in us right now is setting this church on a trajectory. It's putting gasoline in the motor. It's lining us up to go a little further. And so today, I know there's some that are sitting there and this might be new to them. I pray that you would speak to their heart and use this, God, to capture their heart. Some may have come excited and ready. I pray wherever we are on that spectrum, God, you'd meet us right there. And Lord, like you took the little mite of the widow woman and used it, just like you take the large gifts of the uber wealthy and use them. You haven't asked us to give what we don't have, but just to be faithful with what we do have. So we ask, God, that you would take it, use it, and multiply it. In Jesus' name. Tear off the big piece. The big piece is to turn in. The little piece is to keep. Miss Reddy. The worship team's going to sing. Pastor Jeff is going to come back. And we want to have an opportunity to pray for you. Some of you may be sick in body. And you say, that's really awesome. That lady was healed and that pastor was healed. I sure could use a healing in my body. Or maybe you've come and you're just facing obstacles and difficulties and challenges. And you say, man, I just need someone to agree with me in prayer. Or maybe you feel the call of God in your life. You feel God stirring you possibly for vocational ministry or the mission field. Or maybe you've come and you say, today's my day. I just need to surrender my life. Jeff, if you'll come, brother, and if you'll just lead us in this time, we want to offer a prayer for you. Our prayer team, when it's appropriate to respond, if you'll come and help us as well. And Pastor Jeff, God's laid some things on your heart. We want to offer prayer. So would you stand all over the place? Would you stand all over the place? In a moment, we'll dismiss. In a moment, we'll dismiss. We want to have an opportunity to pray for you before we do that. Amen.
Thank God for your life promise, your life church faith promise, missions giving, which matters so very, very much. But more importantly, your life this morning matters. The Macedonians, they first gave themselves. And then, after they gave themselves to the Lord, after the Lord had worked in their hearts, they were able to give out of the generosity, the overflow, in order to see the poor in Jerusalem reached. We want to reach the nations. Yeah. We want to reach our neighbors. Before Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so also am I sending you. Before he said these words in John 20:21, he said to his disciples twice, peace be with you. He said those words to them because they were fearing for their lives. John 20:19 says that the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus, in whom they had placed their faith and hope, whom they had followed, he had been crucified by the Jewish leaders, by the Roman authorities, by the angry mob. What the Jewish leaders did to Jesus, the disciples knew would be done to them because they were Jesus' disciples. Filled with fear, his disciples deserted him. Peter denied him. And Thomas doubted him. What they did not know, what they did not understand, what they had a hard time believing is the very same thing that some of us here today do not know, do not understand, and even have a hard time believing. That is, that Christ is risen, having defeated the powers of evil, sin, and death, so that the victory that he accomplished on the cross might be our victory. What are you walking through this morning? Christ's message to you this morning is peace be unto you. What has you bound up, hiding behind locked doors? The scripture says that while the doors were locked, suddenly Jesus appeared standing there among them, saying to them, peace be with you. Jesus is standing behind the closed doors of your life, in the midst of your darkness, and he is saying to all of us here this morning, and especially to those of us who are bound up, being terrorized and tormented by the darkness that's on the inside. He's speaking to us, peace be with you. John 3:17 says that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn it because it is already under God's judgment. But Jesus came so that the world through him might be saved. Saved from the consequences and the power of sin. Saved from God's judgment. Jesus' message to us here this morning is peace be unto you. Peace be with you. Rejecting that message leaves us under God's judgment. But receiving his message brings God's salvation. It brings peace. It brings joy. There in John 20:20, as Jesus spoke, he showed them his wounds in his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Jesus brought joy and peace to the very ones who had deserted, denied, and doubted him. You may be that person here this morning who has deserted, denied, and doubted Christ. How many of you here this morning are in need of the Lord bringing joy and peace to your troubled soul, to your wounded heart, to your complicated life? I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Your faith promise matters, but more importantly, your life matters. Christ is here. He is here in such a powerful way to set us free, to touch us where we're at with all that we're going through. If you're in need of the Lord's deliverance, if you're in need of his salvation, if you're in need of his healing touch, would you just right now step forward to the front? We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you this morning. Are you in need of the Lord moving in your heart and in your life? This is your opportunity. The scripture says that the Lord is ready right now to save, to heal, to deliver. Maybe right there where you're at, just lift your hand to the Lord, saying, Lord, I need your touch. I need you to have your way in my life this morning. Lord, you see our hands. You see our hearts. You see our minds that are so cluttered, so confused. We stand bewildered. We stand disoriented. We stand terrorized and tormented. And we lift our hands, our hearts to you, knowing that you know everything and that you are able to do everything that's needed to make all things new, to make all things right. Lord, have your way in our lives this morning. If you're needing prayer, just come forward. The prayer partners are here. We want to pray with you this morning. We don't want to embarrass you. We want to pray with you. We want to see God do what only He can do in and through your lives this morning. So feel free to come forward. Whatever your need may be, let the Lord have His way this morning. In John 20:20, and again in John 20:21, Jesus says to His disciples, and He says to us here today, peace be with you. He says it twice because He is moving His disciples and us today from fearfully hiding behind locked doors to now going boldly into all the world to preach His glorious good news. He says again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so also am I sending you. And then He breathed on His disciples as He is doing here this morning. And He says to us in John 20:22, receive the Holy Spirit. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are sent. The Father sent the Son sent the Holy Spirit. The Spirit indwells and empowers us, sending us out into the darkness of this world to implement the victory that Christ accomplished on the cross, so that those who sit in darkness might be brought out of that darkness and into Christ's marvelous light. Hallelujah. Let us all lift our hands and let us all lift our hearts. Let us lift our voices to the Lord, calling on Christ to fill us and to fill us with His empowering presence, sending us out among our family members, our classmates, our co-workers, our neighbors. May we be sent to the nations. Lord, come and have your way in our lives here this morning. Fill us once again with your empowering presence. We need your Holy Spirit. It is by your Spirit, oh God, that we have been brought into the family of God. And it is by your Spirit that we are sustained. And it is by your Spirit that we are sent out to reach our neighbors, to reach the nations. Lord, place in our minds and in our hearts our lost family members, our lost classmates, our lost co-workers, our neighbors on the left and on the right of us in our communities, Lord. Place them in our minds and hearts right now, oh God. And may we allow your Holy Spirit to fill us with passion to reach them. Fill us with your vision to see them come to know you, oh God. May these boys and girls that live around here who are lost without you, who are around this church, may they be reached with the empowering presence of your Holy Spirit. Use us as Life Church, oh God, to reach this community for your name's sake. You love them, Lord. You love them, Lord. Send us out, oh God. May we be busy about your business, Lord, we pray.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.